to another season of the Culinary Road Podcast. We are at season 2, episode 1.
Can you believe it?
Great to have you here, Fred. Good to see you. You came back for another season?
I did. Nobody warned me. that happened so fast. That was a lot of fun. So figured let's just keep this train rolling, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We got some exciting things coming up for season number 2. We'll still have a little bit of the same format, but some changes here and there. And we have an amazing guest for season two, episode one, right? Yeah. It happened to be a close friend of mine who I went to, grew up with, went to high school with and all that stuff. We've kept in touch ever since. But she's a pretty amazing guest, and she's done a few things since switched our tassels to the other side of our hats there. But so we have on the show later on, we have Katrina Scott, who is the founder of livebeautifully.com and recently in Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, 2021 rookie. So her first time.
Rookies. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah. And it's her first time in the magazine, which has been a lifelong goal of hers and a dream of hers, I should say. But also Tone It Up, which is a global fitness empire that stretches across all over the place. I mean, I can't walk down an aisle in Target without seeing her face somewhere.
She's in every Target, right?
Yes, nuts. Absolutely. Yep. But anyway, so we have a great interview coming up with Katrina Scott here in a little bit. But before that, we're going to get to our top three. Our top three is making a return for season 2 as well. So top three, your topic, my first pick. What do we got?
Yeah, well, it's going to make sense when we get to the next segment. I'm bridging, if you will, chef, a direct bridge. But how about your three favorite cookies?
Three favorite.
We've talked about cookies at all, have we?
No, not weird. No, I don't think we have. I mean, we talked about them with our guests here in a little bit, but before, like in season 1, I don't think cookies.
I don't think it came up once, which is weird. You know, I've got a sweet tooth. It's not crazy, but I think everybody has kind of a sweet tooth from time to time, and I feel like it's just easy to grab a cookie.
Sure.
So the only rule here is there really aren't rules. It can be store bought or stuff that's homemade, so that's fine. So that's the parameter. And it is your first pick, and I bet I know which one it is.
Well, I'm going to go, I mean, everyone's favorite cookie is chocolate chip cookie, but that's not going to be my first pick. I have the number one pick, and chocolate chip cookie is the power number one pick. I'm going to go with the Girl Scout cookie route, and I'm going to go with Samoas.
Which one? Are those the ones with like the coconut?
Chocolate coconut.
Those are good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those are dynamite. I thought you were going to say Thin Mints because I'm a fan.
I like those too.
You can put them in the freezer. Anyway, I digress. Just tell us more about the Samoas. Sorry.
Samoas. I mean, it's also a great frozen cookie. I think that's one of the Girl Scout cookies. Throw them in the freezer and they're fantastic. But
this wouldn't have anything to do with you having two little girls, would it?
No, actually.
No, okay.
You don't have too many Girl Scout cookies. Amelia was a Girl Scout for 1 year, and then she didn't really take to it. Didn't really like it that much. So
okay.
we don't have many. So when I do see Girl Scout cookies, and I don't eat them often, I don't have much of a sweet tooth. I don't really eat dessert that much. Even though my wife is a baker and a pastry chef, I don't really eat too many cookies because we sell that stuff. We don't need it. So.
I don't want to eat the profits.
But when I do have Girl Scout cookies, when I think of cookies, I think of Girl Scout cookies. Samoa's number one pick.
Oh, I did not see that coming. I really didn't. And I like the pick a lot. I'm taking it. I'm sorry because it's my first pick. Oreo.
Oreo.
Yeah,
you like Oreo. The double stuffs, or you like the classic?
I'm not gonna lie, I really like the double stuff.
How about the chocolate covered Oreos?
No, I'm more of a purist. I would eat them, right? But no, I'm a purist. You double stuff is it's just right. I know they've got a bunch of other flavors, and I'm sure people think they're cool and fun. But I have no problem with the regular at all. Those are delicious, but double stuff's where it's at. It's just more of that. Is that just shortening and sugar? I don't even know what it is, but I love it. And yeah. you know what's even You know what? What I think might be a bit of a weird tick of mine is I actually like them when they're kind of stale more than I like them fresh.
Because why? Like
I don't. They're like I don't know. Like the
texture, the little like still, chewiness that the cookie.
Yeah,
gets
itself. But they still taste really freaking good. And that way, if you're out of milk, it doesn't matter.
Right, right. So it's got a little sog to it.
A little bit. Yeah, so I clearly love Oreos. So here's the hook, though. I haven't brought them in the house in years because I literally cannot stop eating them. It's like
the whole
riding a bike downhill in a hurricane with the wind at your back. Once I get going, there's no stopping me.
That's it.
They don't come in the house because they're that good. I have a problem. Yeah. Maybe this is an intervention and not a top three. I don't know.
Anyway. It was a self-imposed self-imposed.
Anyway, so that's my number one pick, Oreo. But I think I like yours better because I did not see it coming. So anyway, number two.
So my number two pick, you mentioned when you thought I was going to mention my number one pick. My number two pick is the Thin Mint.
Ah, okay, good. All right, good. I feel better.
And it has to be frozen.
I feel like they're better frozen. I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, the Samoa is fine at room temperature or frozen, but Thin Mints, frozen, you know, you pop a half a dozen of them. You know, just standing.
Girl Scout cookies in a row.
I'm definitely going. I'm pretty heavy on the Girl Scout cookie. I don't eat a lot of cookies, so I'm going. When I do eat cookies, it's Samoas and it's Thin Mints. Those are one and two.
Those are the two best ones.
Yes.
What's the? Is there? There's a peanut butter one.
Yeah,
right?
The peanut butter one.
Dosey Dose.
Yeah.
I like those.
Yeah, those are good. That's actually on my list, but. Didn't crack the top three, but it was my emergency.
was your honorable mention?
Yes.
God, I'm ruining your list.
Just in case. Yeah, you are mentioning every cookie on my list. Just you mention your own goddamn cookies, Fred.
I'm sorry. I'm an only child. Everything orbits around me, or so I think. Really good picks. I never would have guessed you going Girl Scout cookies when we started. This has been fun. Number two was tough for me. And I can't mention the one I was really going to mention because you already mentioned it. So I'm moving my two back to three because I have a question about three and I'm going to have to ask it. I feel like that's a better way to end it. So number two, I don't know if it's a cookie.
Are we going to have this again? We had this last season. We're trying to figure out what a sandwich was and what a sandwich isn't. You don't know if it's a cookie or not?
I feel like it's a cook. Well, all right. So they're Keebler, right?
Okay.
No, you know what? Scratch this. Let's mute.
No. Tell me what you don't know if it's a cookie.
They're all store bought. I feel like a loser. There's something that Keebler used to make called EL Fudge. There's no fudge.
The
wafer crust. They were wafer cookies covered in chocolate. I mean, they're insane.
Yeah,
they're so good.
That's a cookie.
I haven't seen them in forever, and that's another thing that doesn't come back into the house. But oh my god, man. Those cookies are really good. So I guess that's my number two.
You guess. Are you sure?
That's my number two. I'm not guessing. That's my number two. I threw it out there. I really wanted to take it off the list. Thanks for forcing me on that one.
Well, I was going to let you keep waffling there.
I know. Yeah, I was on the fence. Somebody needed to push me on one side or the other.
So you're talking they're covered in chocolate or are they the sandwich cookies? Like that has
they're not the sandwich cookies. No, they're basically take that idea of the classic wafer cookie, right? It's got that, you know, like thin, crispy kind of
like the layers.
Cookie, yeah. And they're just like a little vanilla frosting or shortening or filling in the middle. And it's like three layers and they just basically dunk it in chocolate.
All right.
See, my problem is I'm like it's more like a candy bar and less like a cookie, but it's in the cookie aisle.
Yeah, so but it's almost a Kit Kat, right?
Okay. Yeah. So what's a Kit Kat?
It's similar, right? No, it's similar to a Kit Kat. But I think
Twix. You got Twix on the outside there. That's a candy bar, but it's kind of almost.
Right. But I think what you're talking about, you're going to find in a cookie aisle.
Well, that's I find it in the cookie aisle. So I'm assuming a cookie.
Yeah. So when I think of the Keebler cookies, all I think of is the butter cookies that are in the shapes of the elves with the fudge in the middle.
Those are good too. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have those growing up. Those didn't suck at all.
No. I've got a funny story about that. When I think they came out, like when it was like a junior or senior in high school, and I had a friend Casey. We were at home, like watching, I don't know, like MTV or something. We'd been surfing like for hours, and we're just sitting there, like plowing through the box. And I was eating the middles and just putting, like, the lids or the bottom, the halves, or like back in the box.
Yeah.
And then we thought it would be really funny. I wrote Keep or who's a Nabisco?
Yeah.
I wrote them. I'm like, hey, we got a whole box of cookies without any filling. What gives? I didn't think we would ever hear from them. I got about a month and a half later in the mail a case. It was 12 boxes of assorted like Keebler of the sandwich cookies. It was like I couldn't believe it. Like I pulled off the biggest scam of my life and I was over the moon, and it probably cost Nabisco like $10.
Right, exactly. Thing.
And now they've got a lifelong fan. I felt guilt. The worst part is I'm like, oh, I'm a dick. Oh
man. I scammed them out of these 12.
I scammed the elves. What's wrong with me?
They're working so hard on those trees.
What are you? I may not have. Did I get the name of the cookie right now?
I'm not sure, because I think the EL Fudge, I think, are the
exactly.
ones.
Exactly. It just dawned on my old brain that I
when
did
you
not
first
get the
said
name
EL
of the cookie
Fudge, I was thinking it was the sandwich cookie.
Yep, I think I just put my foot in my mouth. Hang on, and I can't. Apparently, I don't know how to spell cookie.
there's two O's.
Thank you. All right, here we go. I think this might get me there. Okay, there's sugar wafers, but no, they're the ones covered in chocolate. Oh, you're going to be able to edit this, right?
Nope, keeping it all in.
Fudge sticks. That's where I got they're called fudge sticks.
Fudge sticks.
Terrible
okay.
name. Terrible name, but the cookie is so good. So that's where I screwed up the EL fudge. So
gotcha.
Fudge sticks.
All right.
17-minute version of number two. Sorry.
And that wasn't even your number two.
Well, but yeah, it is now.
We came around eventually. All right. Well, my number three pick.
Girl Scout cookies. Oatmeal
nope,
raisin.
Not a Girl Scout cookie. I would probably get in serious trouble if I did not at least mention my wife's cookies.
Yep.
So Butter Bakery, they make her butter cookie that you've seen them because we used to do them at the market back in the day. She makes the butter cookie and then dips it in the royal icing and then decorates the top, and it's all different shapes and sizes and a bunch of different variations of it and everything. But those cookies, when, you know, when there's some broken ones or there's some things that, you know, they fall off a truck kind of deal. We got an extra half a dozen over there. I don't have a sweet tooth, but if her butter cookies with that royal icing happen to make their way towards me, I will eat every bit of them that are in front of me. They are delicious. ButterBakeryInc.com. And on Instagram, it's at ButterBakeryInc as well. So at ButterBakeryInc.com and at ButterBakeryInc on Instagram and Facebook, I believe. But they ship cookies all across the country. I know there's a lot of people on the East Coast that know Emily and myself from our days on that side of the country. And obviously we have a lot of local in Western Pennsylvania, a lot of businesses locally that definitely buy a lot of their products and everything. But Butter Bakery cookies, that's where it's at. So that's my number three. Should be my
butter
number
cookie
one. My wife asks, but
the butter cookie with the frosting.
Butter cookie, yep, with a royal icing frosting on
royal
top.
Royal icing, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and then, you know, they decorate them with some, you know, different, whatever it can be. I mean, there's a...
I got some of those for my birthday this
yes,
year.
Yes, you did. You got Dynamite. Some surfboard ones.
Yeah, they were beautiful and delicious. I didn't want to... I waited almost like a week before I ate them because they were so beautiful, but they were fantastic. Yeah. And after I waited a week, they lasted about a day.
Right, exactly.
And Emily used to work with me. She knows I can plow through cookies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was.
Like that. I'm going with, as much as both of us avoided chocolate chip cookie, and we had to. I feel like that is my favorite cookie of all time. It's
everybody's favorite of all time. So that's kind of,
you know. Yeah. I say homemade. You can get store bought, but homemade. Homemade's always going to be better.
Sure.
But my wife Heather can really bake. She doesn't think she can, but she kind of took a recipe for molasses cookies and sort of made it her own. They're gigantic. I'm usually not a fan of really big cookies because I feel like it's too much, you know, because then it's like, is it cake in the middle? Because I'm here to eat a cookie, not a cake,
right
kind of thing. But she makes these amazing molasses cookies, and then she puts the turbinado sugar on them. And I don't know how she does it, but the texture and the consistency is perfect from edge to edge. And these things are gigantic. And she started making them like 4 or 5 years ago, and that I love them, love them, love them, love them. And I'm not really a molasses cookie kind of guy. I'm more like, you know, like chocolate chip and everything, but these are so good. I actually crave them from time to time. So that's my number three pick.
And I think I think she needs to send me some because they sound fantastic. First of all,
they are really good. Yep.
And I'm pretty sure my wife sent you some. So I got a birthday coming up here. So, you know, just saying.
Wait, you have birthdays? rambled enough about cookies. We should probably move along.
Well, I think the honorable mention, the collective honorable mention has to be the chocolate chip cookie because
we really know that's everybody's number one pick.
But... yeah, for sure. But, you know, we'll throw that in there anyway. But as always, send us a message. There's 1,000 different cookies out there to choose from. And, you know, whatever your favorites are, shoot us a message on Instagram at culinary.rd, Culinary Road, and let us know what you think. Moving forward, we have our amazing interview with Katrina Scott.
Looking forward to this. This is going to be fascinating. She's been like the first, I think, like fitness food lover, like fitness professional icon. And she's going to talk about food and wine with us. This is going to be really interesting and fun.
Yeah.
It's a really different take and perspective. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So great guest coming up next. So stay tuned for our interview with Katrina Scott. All right. Welcome to the program. Founder of livebeautifully.com and the host of the Live Beautifully podcast, which was ranked top podcast for entrepreneurial women. Also co-founder of the global fitness empire, Tone It Up, and recently Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. Been on the cover of Women's Health magazine, Self magazine, Strong magazine, and Women's Fitness. And also mother to Isabel Margaret Scott. We have Katrina Scott on the program. So great to have you here.
Hi.
Welcome aboard. I'm not really sure you should be on here now that I know all of that.
Right.
Like your resume definitely looks much better than ours, but I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Yeah. And somehow all of those things and she's, and we've still been friends for the last like 30 years.
You're so good though. Like, you have always been that consistent person to check in, remembering everyone's birthday, group texting everybody. You were like the first to have kids. You're like, these are my kids. And I would be like, oh my gosh, I need to catch up. Like, no, you've always been really good about staying in touch, which takes energy. It takes time to be like, oh, I'm thinking about that person. Let me go out of my way real quick while I'm an executive chef and I have my babies, like just to check in. So you've done a good job.
Well, you know, I only check on the people that that I want to check in with too. So
yeah, you know, Katrina, before we get into that, I've never experienced any of what you just said from Dustin. I feel like this might be awkward from here on out. I'm kidding. Yeah, he's great like that, isn't he?
Yeah.
We have a running joke years ago. You have to do inventory in the business. I was running the shop. He was running a restaurant. Come in and check. What do we sell this month? Does everything add up kind of thing? And I was incredibly cranky one morning because you had to get up at like 4 to do it. And you're counting. And that's no fun. And he came over. It was like 6 in the morning. He's been doing it too. And he's like, how's it going? I'm like, it's the worst April ever. And it was April 1st. So now every first of the month he's like, we're September ever, man. And it's been a running joke for like 10 years now.
I have recently changed it though. It used to be the worst, and now I say,
now it's like happy, it's whatever it is. It's yeah. True, that's true.
Happy May. Positive, it's the best May ever.
he's turned it from a negative to a positive. He's done a good job with that.
We need that right now.
Right. So I know I just listed off a whole bunch of things, but let's talk about livebeautifully.com real quick. I know that's sort of the newest thing that you got going on in the podcast that you just finished season one, but tell us a little bit about that. We'll start drinking here in a minute, but let's talk about that real fast.
Live Beautifully came to be. I was in this place where you kind of think about, you know, you have different chapters or like your second act or third act, whatever it is. And I have been doing fitness for a long time, and I felt a calling to do something that felt, I don't know, just that felt really good and fulfilling for me and family. And that meant starting a podcast and talking with women that I love and friends. And I wanted to do that, but I didn't know the name. And then I was on a walk with my husband, Brian, and he was like, ever since I've known you and even stories that you tell about high school, you've always wanted to make your girlfriends feel beautiful. And so whatever avenue that means, whether it's through working out or helping them do their hair and makeup, getting them for prom. I mean, how many of the girls did I get ready for prom and then I rushed to get myself ready? It's like everyone else feeling good is always that's my North Star. And he said, even throwing your friends baby showers or getting them ready. You know, I went from getting girls ready, my girlfriends on their prom day to then their first job, to then their wedding day. And my sister-in-law, actually Brian's brother, married my best friend from college, which is awesome. We planned it. We're like, we got to be sisters somehow. We actually dated brothers in college, like different brothers. And I was like, whoa, like I didn't even realize we did that. So we had some weird.
Like, pretty close to orbit. Yeah.
We were manifesting that a long time ago. But I got her ready for prom too. And then of course, so many nights out in Boston and then on her wedding day, but it's so much more beyond like getting someone hair and makeup ready. It's sitting down and that intimate face to face and right before they do something great. And then I just threw her baby shower. So that relationship that I have with her, it's like, that's so fulfilling for me. And Brian was like, you always want to make your friends and your family and everyone feel like they're living beautifully, whatever that is, like creating spaces or experiences, or how they feel about themselves. And he was like, it's so much beyond everything that you've even done through fitness, and which is also my calling. And so he was like, let's go look up Live Beautifully. And we came back, and of course someone owned it and wasn't doing anything with it. And so bought the domain. He was also the one that helped me come up with Tone It Up. And he was like, Tone It Up was my senior project with Sandy DiNatale at Keen, shout out. And he's like, what about Tone It Up? And I was like, oh, it's taken. And at the time it was $688. And I'm like, that's more than my rent. I can't do it. And he's always like, no, you got to do it. So that's Live Beautifully. And it's a place where it's not only the podcast, but it's home inspiration, family inspiration, and style and beyond. And yeah, I'm really proud and excited for the future for that.
You mentioned Tone It Up. I remember the first time walking through Target, walking down the aisle, and all of a sudden I see a picture of you and, you know, one of your pieces of merchandise for sale. I'm like, is that who I think it is? And that was quite a while ago too. So
you Jeff, know. You'll be on a frozen pizza. I feel it in the not too distant future, and it'll be a good one.
I would love to do
inevitable.
Like a healthy pizza. We actually looked into like the frozen dinner type of thing, and it's actually really hard for distribution to do that with all like the trucks. But yeah, we've talked about pizza.
Well, I mean, who doesn't like pizza? And you can do it a million different ways. Yeah, exactly. But you're right. It's getting it from point A to point B is always the hardest part.
Especially right now, yeah.
Yeah, we want to do pizza, we want to do wine, we want to do ice cream. And it's like, how do we get this into the hands of everybody? The Target, do you hear my dog snoring? Let me know.
Not yet.
Target was really, really cool because the buyer who decides who gets to come in, and of course you have to be able to handle the demand and everything, knew about Tone It Up and was a Tone It Up community member. And they said, this could be really great. And it's, you know, female founded and women owned. And we're still the only women owned and female founded protein and collagen on the shelves of Target. And so they have some great initiatives where they're going to start elevating women's brands, but I think we've been there for 4 years now, or like, yeah, wow, time's flying. But super, super grateful. And that the mission at being at Target with all of our Tone Up products is literally to just be in more homes and to help her.
That's fantastic. That's amazing. You went from like the hurdle being $688 for the domain to that. I mean, that's a quantum leap. Yeah. That's pretty incredible. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It's all, we all have been able to achieve so much in all these different ways. And when I look back, I'm really proud of my myself or taking risks. I think that, and the curiosity, like you and I were talking about before we jumped on this podcast about curiosity. And I was really, at that time, I just felt like, you know, okay, I could totally fail. And Chris and Jane, my parents, I'll just move back with them.
Were they aware of that?
No.
All right.
No, but they're great people. So they would open arms.
I think that even having great parents and that security of knowing like you can fail and people still support you and your loved ones and people still say like, you got this is really important. And so when anyone wants to take a big risk, I say, okay, who do you have around you to support you? And when you fall, I'll be there for you to tell you that it's okay. I mean, I've fallen on my face way more times than I've been running. And I mean, literally in so many different ways. But yeah, it's been a wild ride for sure.
Well, you bring up a really good point. It's kind of the community you have around you to get you where you are. We're all standing on somebody else's shoulders at some point. It's a really poignant, but lovely sentiment.
My dad's shoulders being like, my fall.
Well, you were mentioning, obviously we were talking a little bit there about frozen pizza and about wine, but why don't we get into the food and beverage part of this program? So
I see my glass with my lipstick. I already had some.
That means you're enjoying it. Don't worry about that.
So you got to choose the beverage for the show, and I went out and I grabbed a bottle of rosé this morning, and then you sent me a text message that you were changing the program. So then I had to go out and get another bottle. But why don't you tell us what we're drinking tonight?
That totally didn't happen to me too, by the way.
I need some more wine. I was going to choose rosé, but then I only had Sauvignon Blanc, and I didn't have time to run out. So then I inconvenienced you. Sorry. I love Sauvignon Blanc. Maybe you can explain to me why I love it, because I don't know why I love it so much. It literally goes down like water. Sometimes I'm like, Brian's bringing the bottle.
It's going down that fast, huh?
Yeah, you're just drinking out of the bottle.
In fact. So Sauvignon Blanc I chose because it literally tastes like candy.
Well, you know what? Let's stop right there. So when you say it tastes like candy, like, what does that mean to you? Like, what does that remind you of? Where does your mind go when you say that? Because candy can be like hard candy all the way to like Snickers. You know what I mean? Now, clearly this doesn't taste like a Snickers bar, but yeah.
I love a good like sweet and sour a little bit or something like that. So that's why I really like New Zealand. Right. You got this.
Yeah, I feel like you're getting coached in the background there.
My husband's in the background just telling me why I like Sauvignon Blanc. He's like, I know why she likes it. I always really love New Zealand. Sometimes if it's even California, it's a little too, I would say, buttery, but people literally correct me. They're like, it's not buttery. I have no idea. I prefer it over Chardonnay. And it's really refreshing. I even have it in the winter, but maybe you can tell me why.
Justin, do you mind if I hop in on all of that?
Fred, this is all your domain right here.
Look, if you taste cream or butter or a dairy, something like that in the wine, that's what you're tasting, because everybody's palate's a little different. You know, I think it's important when you smell and taste something, you find that in your mind very quickly, because if you overthink it, then you're going to feel like you're saying the wrong thing. Or you might miss the moment. And it really, it's no different than food. It's emotive, right? You have the reaction like, oh, that's really salty, but that's good salty. Or like, wow, that's really salty. I don't like it. You know, that's the kind of the gut reaction. It's really important not to lose that, I think, with wine, because ultimately it's meant to be enjoyed and you like what you like. And I would agree with you. I feel like that Pacific Rim, like Australia, New Zealand, and some of the other areas that are kind of coming up, they're making that really crisp, mineral, kind of like high tension Sauvignon Blanc, which is just like you said, you can suck it down like water. And then you move over, like, even though it's the New World, you move over to like, you know, California, maybe it's South America, and you get that more opulent style, that kind of richness to it. And you can make it a million different ways. The one I'm drinking comes from Northern Italy, because I have to drink Italian wine, otherwise I won't have a job tomorrow. I'm kidding. But it's a producer called San Leonardo. And I feel like it's somewhere between what you're really enjoying and that kind of the style that maybe you don't like. And yeah. Full disclosure, Sauvignon Blanc is a really difficult grape for me to like because of that kind of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of nature. Like sometimes like, oh, this is delicious. Like Sancerre, like, wow, this is really rich. I don't need another sip. I'm all set. And it's always been that kind of grape for me where I kind of kept it at arm's length. So I think it was a really important point you brought up. I think it went on for 11 minutes, so I should probably hand the mic back over to somebody else. Sorry.
So Fred, you just mentioned a very good point, and something that we talk about all the time is you drink what you like. And there's a lot of wine people out there that will say, no, this tastes like this. And if you're not tasting that, then you don't know what you're talking about. And that's bullshit, right? I mean, at the end of the day,
it's not fair. Yeah.
Right. If that's what you taste, then that's what you taste. And if that's what you like, then that's what you like. And we talk about that all the time on this podcast. I mean, weekly that comes up. Like, just drink what you like. And if you enjoy it, then you enjoy it. And if someone else doesn't, then they don't have to drink it. Don't share it with them. It's that simple, right?
It's funny that you're saying that. I have the same philosophy on fitness.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people will say, you know, you have to lift really heavy if you want to get this body type, or you have to run to be able to lose weight, or you have to do this or that. If someone doesn't like burpees, I will never make them do a burpee. If you don't enjoy running, why are you going to do that? So in the same way, eat what you want to eat and work out the way that you want to work out. And it all, you know, you're not like torturing yourself. Are you going to?
Right.
Bye, Winnie.
So I don't like doing any kind of workout. So is it okay for me to just not do anything? Because
just goes down the list: pull-ups, burpees, running, swimming. It just crosses it all off. Sitting on the couch, yes.
Yeah, I can do that.
And that's okay too. Like whatever your thing is. Like a lot of women will say, I love to dance, or I love to swim instead of cardio. And I'm like, do whatever you're gonna end up liking is what you're gonna end up doing more of. So that's why I drink a lot of Sauvignon Blanc.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, I would also, you're in wine country. I mean, pretty much all of California's wine country, and it can get pretty heated. Like what we were talking about before, it's almost like talking religion and politics. People can get pretty self-righteous about it, you know, and it can be like, oh, you shouldn't like that because, and that makes me insane. It'd be like saying, oh, you like that movie? Why? Because I like it. It's real simple.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm really glad you picked the grape, because like I said, it was always a bit of a challenge for me to get along with it. But when you find one you really like, it's fun. And I think that's kind of keeps you on your toes. You and I should talk after we hang up, because I can make like a million other recommendations that we can kind of play around with that whole palette. Mm-hmm. Although it sounds like your husband knows what the hell he's talking about, so you may not even know.
He really has no idea.
He's just pretending he does, right?
We can edit that out. Don't worry about it.
We'll get him on one of these other shows. We'll get him as one of our guests, and he can speak to the contrary for you.
Right. Well, can I ask a quick question? So, you know, fitness as a living, it's challenging. Because I think people have an expectation of you. You have to look a certain way. You've always got to be on. It's a lot of energy. And working with people is really tough, because that's your persona and you want them to have a really good experience. But there must be something about, and the fitness is such a broad brushstroke, but is it the exercise you like more like kind of fun? You know what I mean? Like I love running just because I love running, or I enjoy surfing. It's a really good workout, you know, and that way I know I'm going to get a good workout, but there's not always surf. So then I can get really lazy. So is it something like that, or did it come from childhood or high school, or a sport you really liked, or?
Oh, how I got into fitness?
Yeah. I'm curious. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when I was in like the fifth and sixth grade, which Justin and I didn't know each other then.
No, not quite. Yeah.
I was just generally heavier than all the other kids, and I got teased. We all got teased for something, right?
Sure. Absolutely. So,
my pain isn't greater than anyone else's while that was happening, but it was something that shaped me, where I actually went to Loudon Racetrack. I just told this story to someone for the first time that I've been like working with for like years, and they're like, I didn't know this. I went to Loudon Racetrack with my dad on like a daddy and me date. He brought me up to his company, had like one of the boxes to watch all the cars. He's like, you can bet on a car. I was in the fifth grade, and he said, if you win, you win a bunch of money. And it's like such a random story. But this is how I got into fitness. And so of course I bet on car number one, and everyone was like, that car is not going to win. And so all these guys in business were betting on the car. And I was like, you know, Chris's daughter betting on like this random car, and it ended up winning. And I won so much money.
That's awesome.
And my dad was like, what are you going to do? And instead of being like, I'm going to Disney World, I was like, I want a treadmill and like a gym. And he went home and he was like, honey, she asked for a treadmill and a gym, which was kind of devastating for my dad, thinking sure. like, I thought yeah. she wanted a limo to the mall with our friends or whatever it was. And he was like, and so they sat me down. They're like, what's up? And I said, well, I'm just being teased, but like, I'm actually interested in fitness and doing these things. And so my mom got me a bunch of fitness magazines and I cut pictures out. I made like these vision boards. My dad transformed our basement room where we had like this basement / garage room that had like our little boat in. And then he transformed it into a gym. He put mirrors in, music. And then my grandma got me a nutrition book. And so it just kind of started happening. And Laura Kate, who we both know, lived right down the street. And so we worked out together all the time. I'd blast music and I fell in love with just fitness, but I was training myself. So I only started doing that I enjoyed. If I didn't like it, then I wouldn't do it. And I started making programs. I have the binder downstairs. It's wild. It's like I would like journal. We took like before and after photos in a healthy way.
Sure.
And that's the thing. It wasn't in like this unhealthy mindset where I was like, I need to be skinny or anything. I just wanted to feel strong and I wanted to discover who I was. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into middle school, I mean, some people didn't even recognize me. And I was really excited because a gym was opening up down the street and I asked my mom if I could have a membership. As soon as I had my license, it was the first place I drove and I hit the weight room and I love strength training. And all these guys were in there like lifting heavy weights. And I'm like, I'm this, you know, 15 or whenever I had the pre-license where you could drive still. I'm like in there working out with the barbell and stuff. And I wasn't afraid of the weight room or anything. And I was like, this is my calling. I want to be a personal trainer. And
I'm still afraid of the weight room.
And then I went to college for exercise science and I wanted to help other women. And then I really, really fell in love with teaching group fitness, not because it was still personal training, but I felt like I could reach more people. So I started teaching this class on campus, abs and booty on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. I didn't know. I didn't think anyone would come. And I made a CD and it was like Rihanna SOS was like the opening song. And I walk up with my little CD and I was like shaking and there was a line out the door. And it was like, everyone was talking on campus that hadn't talked before. Girls were making friends with each other. And it was so much fun. And I was like, I'm going to teach group fitness when I get out of school. And then same mentality where when YouTube was a thing, it's still a thing.
Yeah, still a thing. Yeah.
Still out there. Yeah.
When YouTube first came on the scene, it was like only music. And I realized, you know, if you can teach online, you can reach even more people. I love that one-on-one. I love personal training, but the more women that I can help is really my North Star and my mission. And so that's how it all happened.
All by betting on car number one.
Right.
That's a pretty, that's an
right. Incredible. Imagine if car number two won.
Where would we be? Yeah.
I would have had no gym, no treadmill.
That's wow. What great support. I mean, that was really great of your parents. Just, that's a pretty amazing story. It's a really good story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unique. No one would ever guess it. It's
no, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. I got to think that notebook, that scrapbook you have is probably worth its weight in gold. Yeah. It's got to be a pretty amazing thing to flip through from time to time.
Well, yeah. Laura and I have photos in there. Like we took pictures of each other and we made like healthy fruit salad and like journal it.
So speaking of healthy eating, the food choice for the show today was sort of a little stray from what we normally would go to, but you chose the Tone It Up protein cookie. Mm-hmm. which makes sense because we want to talk about the products that your company supplies and everything. But so let's talk about some of the protein cookies that you have.
Yeah. Justin asked me what food I wanted to eat. And I was like, well, it probably, I'm not sure it totally goes with the wine, but I want to plug our cookies.
I have a theory. I think I have something that might work, but
Here's my
big question about the cookie.
Yeah.
I got a sweet tooth. Please tell me they're really good for you.
They are good. There's a lot
on me. Okay.
There's a lot of cookies out there that, you know, have protein, but say they have protein in them, doesn't mean that they're necessarily healthy for you. Right. Like an unhealthy product with a lot of chemicals and fake sweeteners can just put, you know, some whey protein in there and say it's a protein cookie. People just assume that it's healthy for you. But our cookies, my husband actually formulated them. They are so good. I'm going to show you this new packaging that we have here. But they're dairy-free, non-GMO. They're gluten-free. They're plant-based. I mean, this type of cookie just doesn't even exist on the market. You'd have to make it at home.
Right.
And it has pea protein and hemp flour. And it tastes amazing. And the ingredients, there's only a few ingredients in here. Like my daughter grabs these and I trust that she can eat these. Some of the things that I eat, I'm like, should she be eating that? Like, I don't know. It's almost like you have higher standards of what your kids put right. in their mouth. Yeah. Like, so if I'm confident that my daughter can have this, that means I'm really confident in the ingredients. And plus Brian formulates everything. but yeah, they're amazing. And they're 10 grams of protein because as you guys know, working with food and everything, protein still has 4 calories per gram. So if you have excess protein, it's still stored as fat. And so you can have too much protein and it's really hard on your body when you have too much. And remember when I worked at GNC?
Yes.
I worked at GNC in high school and, you know, people come in and they're like, I need like 60 grams of protein in a sitting. And you really don't. Right. And you guys know like the perfect balance, like having a dish of like a little fish and carbohydrates, you need carbohydrates too. And it's just, you need a little bit of everything. But yeah, we're really proud of the cookies.
I'm feeling, and follow me on this one, that the lemon blondie is going to pair well with the Sauvignon Blanc.
So I love the lemon blondie one so much that.
You want to try it?
There's none left.
Oh, come on. You set me up. That was a setup.
So I'm still going to have the chocolate chip, but for anyone listening too that is having a lemon blondie and a glass Sauvignon Blanc, let us know how it's paired.
I'm feeling like it's going to work. I'm going to have to go online and buy them and then I'll give you a full report. But you know, the lemon citrusy thing that goes on with the Sauvignon Blanc, I feel like that might be the bridge.
I agree. Yeah, I'm gonna open the cookie, but I think you guys will love the cookies. And even though Toner Up is, you know, it's branded for women, it's by women, you know, guys can have it. Brian has all of our products, of course. He only has our protein and it doesn't have soy or anything either. It really is. It's awesome.
Yeah. I'm older than both of you. I'm not going to bother to mention my age, but you know, as you get older, you know, things don't always work the way you want them to. So you have to be much more careful the way you take care of yourself. You know, drink enough water. Don't always drink 17 cups of coffee, that kind of thing. So I've started to pay way. I've always been careful because I was lucky enough to work with chefs like Justin, understand where the food comes from, you know, clean whole source food, no GMO, and, you know, actually shake the farmer's hand, which is, so it's been a really unique experience for me, but, you know, still, I cover 3 states. I drive a ton. I don't always make the best decisions when I'm starving. It's 1 a.m. and I got to eat. But I've started putting almonds in, you know, like in the glove box, you know, incorporating more blueberries. And it's just, I'm really glad to have this conversation because sometimes when you talk about food, you just think about like, oh, this great dinner I had, you know, this big decadent meal I had or your favorite thing to eat. And it's really not like that. It's fuel you put in. It can still taste really good, but you have to be more aware of it. And, for everybody who's not an AARP member, you know, take care of yourself and it'll be better because what you put in is what comes out. And I've started to pay a little closer attention to it. I still have a coffee problem, but the rest of the diet's getting way better.
Coffee too. I love my coffee.
Right?
So, yeah. I gave it up when I was pregnant. So that, I think once you give something up for a while, then you really appreciate it. So as soon as I could have it again, I was like... Amen. Never happening again.
Doubling down. You got to make up for lost time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What other, I know you've got the cookies. You've got a bunch of other things to offer up there. Like, what else do you have for folks?
So we have, thanks for asking. We have vanilla and chocolate protein, and it's a blend of pumpkin seed and pea protein. It's really good, really smooth. And then we also have special edition flavors. This is where my husband comes in on all of it. Because again, he formulates and he does the taste testing in our kitchen sometimes. I'm like, it's good, honey. And he's like, yeah, but your taste isn't everybody. So he'll like have our neighbors or our friends come over. I'm right, like, right. We have cafe latte, chocolate peanut butter. We've had matcha pumpkin.
Ooh, I like matcha a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, good. So good. And oh my gosh, protein and greens, where it has actual like greens in there, which is great for our daughter because she doesn't eat a lot of vegetables. She actually doesn't eat any vegetables. Yeah. So we got to make our smoothies with that. And then we also have protein bars, a birthday cake protein bar. We're the only plant-based and dairy-free birthday cake bar on the market, which is really, really great for anyone that has like a dairy sensitivity. And then we also have collagen and collagen creamer. I have the collagen creamer every morning in my coffee, so it makes me feel good. Like I'm drinking coffee because I'm trying to get the collagen. So if you want, I'll send you.
Kind of balanced it out, right?
you can start feeling really good about your coffee intake.
you're speaking my language. Okay.
So all of these products that you just mentioned, where can people get them if they're looking?
You can get any Tone Up products on toneitup.com. In our app, you can like work out and shop. And then at every Target. And we're also at Kroger. And we are newly in Vitamin Shoppe, which is really cool. Nice. I feel like I'm back to my roots when I go in there. I'm like, my first job was in a vitamin store. So
right.
Bringing it back home.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up here, it would be silly of us to not mention that you were just recently in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Talk a little bit about that experience and what that was all about and just that in general.
Well, as you know, Justin, I've been wanting that since I was like 16.
Right.
So now at 37, that's pretty cool.
That's amazing, actually.
Yeah. I think it's perfect timing too for representation. I hope by being, you know, they had me on the runway and I'm in the magazine. I hope that I can represent women out there, moms, anyone that feels like it's too late for them. Cause you know, you get to a certain point where you're like, oh, those dreams that I had when I was younger, maybe it's too late for me. And when I got that phone call to even go live on a workout with my girlfriend, Emily DiDonato, who's been in the magazine a lot, she's like, do you want to teach a live workout with me? Sure. On their Instagram platform. And then I worked with them. I taught classes on their platform a couple times a week for 10 months through COVID. And they called me and asked me to be a 2021 rookie. And I mean, it's just one of those things where I'm still processing it. As
right.
I can imagine. Yeah.
What? It's iconic. It's amazing. And the women that are part of that publication, the franchise, Sports Illustrated Swimsuit, they just want women to feel beautiful as they are. They celebrate all women. They are pioneers in the space of representation and inclusivity. And I was just really, really honored to be part of that representation and to be with the women that were part of this. When I was backstage, right before we walked the runway, I was looking around and I was just like giddy. I was like, this is hilarious that I'm here. I didn't know how to walk down the runway. Joke's on them. Like, what am I doing? you know, there's like supermodels. There's just everybody. And there's a woman over 65 as well. And so I just one of those things where I thought it was just really cool. And I can't wait for my daughter to see that one day. And I was still on like tons of hormones from IVF when they called me. I almost said no, like a millisecond of saying I might not be ready for the runway, but Sports Illustrated literally has always been like, you know, it's exactly what I said before. It's you're beautiful as you are and let's celebrate you as you are. And so kind of like, you know, we don't want to go to the beach until we're ready. We don't want to wear that bikini until we run in the water until we feel ready. And it's kind of throwing away that entire narrative and saying, was I ready to walk the runway for the first time and only time in my career? maybe my past self at 16 or 22 would have panicked and said, oh, it's too soon. It's too much around the corner. But I said yes, because this is what I was going through. And I really think that we should all embrace exactly where we are and live every moment. And I wouldn't have those memories or the thrill of doing that and a story to tell my daughter one day if I decided like I wasn't good enough for that. And so I'm really just honored to be part of it. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was for me, it was an amazing thing to see somebody that I've known for so long be on that stage. And, you know, it's inspirational to everybody, not only women out there, but everybody, you know, to see that whole process and the confidence and, you know, all the other women that were on there too. I mean, we're not talking about just supermodels. These are like, you know, they look like, a lot of them look like everyday, you know, everyday people you see everywhere you go. And, you know, for Sports Illustrated to really highlight all of those things, I think it's amazing and pretty cool for me to see just because I know you. So I imagine there was, and I've seen all your posts with all the people that tagged you in, you know, very, very lively on Instagram. So, you know, there's a lot of posts on there, and I'm going to, while I'm talking about Instagram, I'm going to plug your Instagram real quick here and then we can wrap up, but definitely absolutely follow Katrina. It's at Katrina Scott. And then also the podcast is at Live Beautifully, and then at Tone It Up. So you can follow at Tone It Up. And then there's the app as well that you can follow on Tone It Up. But I wanted to mention those things, but please continue.
Thanks. I know. I feel like Instagram is my office. Like I spend like 8 hours a day there.
Right.
It's a time suck, isn't it?
I'm just so grateful for platforms that give us the ability to connect with each other. And so even looking at social media, and this is something I think about even as a parent, you know, when you allow them to have social media and all these things, but there are actual like so many positives to having social media just for family and meeting people and having community, a sense of community. And I'm really grateful for just having that, especially through Tone It Up and being able to just, you know, feel like we're together, even if we're really far apart.
Yeah, it's just such positive messages that come out of, I mean, I follow Tone It Up. I'm not a woman. I don't exercise clearly. If you can see me here, I clearly don't. I'm not into fitness.
I was going to say, we discussed your fitness routine. It's not
right, right, exactly.
I bet you probably move a lot more than you think.
He does.
How many steps a day do you take?
Yeah.
It's pretty wild how much activity you probably get. Before we wrap, I want to know, like, what's your most hilarious memory of us growing up together?
I would say, I mean, we talked about visiting when I visited you at Keene State, and we played Beirut listening to Lil Jon. So that's probably up there. I think, I mean, we talked again about me cooking for you. You know, I remember there was a couple of times where you had, you know, the flu or you had a cold or whatever, and I made chicken soup and just brought it to your house and then, you know, dropped it off and just to try to make you feel better. But that, I mean, the last time I saw you was at Keene State. So I think that's every time I hear, and you know what song I'm talking about, every time I hear that, I just think of playing Beirut. And, you know, I think it was freshman year of college before I even went to the CIA. I think that's probably the one that sticks out the most to me.
That's so good. I remember a lot of house parties and you just making sure that all of us girls were happy, you know, just making sure that we were good, checking in on everybody. And I think that's the best part. Always feeling like comfortable and like we're always good. So thanks.
Well, thank you.
Gosh, Justin, I feel like you and I should go on a first date again or something. It's like
we missed out on some of that, Fred. By the time Fred and I met, I was just a jerk to him all the time. So
no, that's not true. He was he's one of the, I've worked with some pretty talented chefs, but he's one of the ones I didn't dread working with from time to time. There are some, it was back in the day when yelling and screaming was kind of the vogue, and he wasn't like that. It was a pleasure. I was proud to work with him. So all my self-deprecating jokes and poking fun at him is just nonsense. I'm kidding around. He was him. Always has been. I wouldn't be here right now if he wasn't who he was.
So I worked in the restaurant business for, hold on.
So you've suffered, you know.
Yep. four years at Margaritas.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you took your bumps and bruises.
You know, the worst thing that ever happened is putting in an order when there's no paper. And so it never came out. And then realizing your table's still sitting there.
Ordering. That never happens all the time.
Right, right.
The good thing about one of the margaritas that I worked at is that it was attached to a hotel. And so if anything was late, they were like, you know, they were there for the night. And so they're super forgiving. But yeah, Brian actually worked at Legal Seafood. I worked at Margaritas. And we would both have like those, you know, the night sweats where you wake up at 2 a.m. and you forgot a table. Mm-hmm. And it's the vivid dreams. At one point, I actually woke up and Brian was serving tables at our lake house back home in New Hampshire. And I was like, he was like serving the sofa, and he walked over. He's like serving the flower pot, asking them their order. Oh. And I was like, babe, wake up. And he's like, can't talk right now. I have a lot of tables.
I'm in the weeds. Leave me alone.
And unless you've worked in that business, like, you just don't know.
You just don't know. There's no way. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. We've all had those. Like, oh my God, table four, the butter. I forgot.
Or like, and you realize that like 2 weeks later, you just kind of sit there and you're like, whoa, I never brought that table their ketchup.
Yeah. They're still waiting for their bread.
So weird. I think that's some form of PTSD, not to downplay that, but it's gotta be some like minor version of it. Cause it just
helped me. I think it definitely helped me. I always said PTSD helped me. It helped me in all my future jobs. Because it helps you, you know, you can start conversations right away with a group of strangers. Sure. And you're hosting them and you're giving them a great time, whether it's over drinks or food. And being able to be at the service of other people that's fulfillment in whatever avenue you choose. And being so young and getting into the restaurant business, like, you learn not only about dynamics in the kitchen, management, and getting your schedule, and some things being fair and some things being whatever it is, and then learning how to work with a lot of people in one night, like how many people. I hope that Isabel wants to, whatever she chooses for her first job, I'll obviously encourage being in the restaurant business, because I think it's invaluable. It's amazing.
Whatever you do, don't encourage her to do it for a career.
I'm telling you, you're one frozen pizza recipe for making a big brother. You're on the precipice. I'm telling you.
Yeah. What about like a cookbook, like, and all like totally. With wine pairings? Why don't you guys do that? And it could even be a digital book that you get on like Amazon. So that way, at the end of every episode, you guys are like, pick up our. Get her onto something,
you know. Yeah. But I think it would help to have somebody like yourself who's not in our, you know, you were part of the profession, but like it would, because we need to know what you're looking for.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's such a broad subject, but that's not a bad idea.
I need you, because look at what I paired.
It'll work.
Thank you, Katrina, for joining us. Again, if you're on Instagram, @KatrinaScott, @LiveBeautifully, and @ToneItUp, make sure you're following all three of those. And it was such a great time having you on here. We're going to probably hang up or stop recording and catch up a lot more here too. But thank you so much. It was great to have you.
Thank you for having me, you guys. I'm so proud of you for literally doing as many episodes as you've done and in the business that you're in. And I know that it's a lot of work. So congrats.
Thank you. I can only imagine how insane your schedule is. You've got a puppy. You've got a kid. You've got a husband who's like constantly creating recipes, and you've got the whole fitness thing going on. Thank you for taking the time. This was a joy and a pleasure. Really appreciate you carving out a few minutes for us. It was a blast. Thanks.
All right, we're on to the wrap up here. That was our interview with Katrina Scott. It was great to have her on the show. It's a great way to lead off season number two here on the Culinary Road podcast, and couldn't think of a better guest to have on here.
Right. And I have to throw this out there. Like, how many famous people have come from New Hampshire? This is her, Adam Sandler. I feel like there's a ton of them. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, there's a few.
It's like some kind of weird little breeding ground you guys have. You're like hiding it from the world. There's some kind of pentaveret pulling strings back there. It's nuts. But anyway, yeah, what a great guest.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. I mean, she's always been such like a sweet person, just somebody that you really want, you gravitate towards. And she cares about other people. She's so inspirational. And, you know, what she's been able to do as an entrepreneur, as a business person, you know, it's always been inspirational to be, you know, to be in her presence, to be able to follow her and everything. So,
yeah. And just how it all came about. it's kind of crazy. And her point of view and the way she goes about it, it's refreshing because, you know, I didn't know where you grew up with her.
Right.
I didn't know her. I didn't really know what to expect. And, you know, kind of you have a persona that like fitness people have to, people in the fitness industry have to put out there, and you're not really sure what to make of it. And sometimes maybe they are genuine, maybe they aren't, but you know, she was the real deal. It was great. That was fun.
You know, that analogy she made, which really sticks out with me from the whole conversation we had, the many things stick out, but the one that sticks out the most is her talking about, because we always discuss, drink what you like, you know, eat what you like, whatever, however you like it, do that. And to put that analogy into the fitness world and say, just exercise the way you like too.
And then you actually do it. And I have to, full disclosure, I fucking hate burpees. They're ass kickers. I hate them, but I will do them. But if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to continue doing it. And working out is hard, but at the same time, when you get into a rhythm with it, like my wife wasn't a runner and now she is, and she like loves it. She kind of has to do it now. So I think if you find your niche, like I just wish I had a wave pool near me so I could go surfing literally every day, like clockwork, but it doesn't work that way. But then I would actually exercise. But it was, like you said, it's a nice little tie that binds, because that's, you know, like, look, if you like spicy food, eat spicy food. If you don't, then don't.
Right.
You know, try to keep an open mind, but you know, you have your preferences and you should lean towards them. And then, you know, maybe nibble around the edges, pun intended, and see where it takes you.
Right, yeah. Right. Absolutely. So again, it was great to have her on the show, but for season two, this wrap up, we're going to introduce Ask a Pro, which we dabbled in it a little bit in season one, but we're gonna make this last segment into the Ask a Pro segment. So we've had a number of you write in and ask us questions about, you know, whether it's food or wine related or just industry in general. And we've had this one question come in a couple of times, and I think it's because we mentioned this food item quite a bit, but we've had a couple of people that have asked about grilled cheese. And the best way to make a great grilled cheese.
Because I think people hear me say it all the time, because I think it's a really great common denominator. Like, well, what should I have with this wine? Or, hey, if you're struggling with the wine, try this. I tell them to make a grilled cheese, because everybody's got bread. Everybody's got cheese in the house. And you know, even if you have gluten-free bread, you can make yourself a really good grilled cheese. So I know how to make what I think is a good one, but man, you're the pro. And so I think you should walk people through what you think a really great recipe for grilled cheese is, because I, you know, who doesn't want to knock it out of the park? Because it's gooey hot bread and cheese. I mean, come right. on.
So there's a million different ways to make them, and there's, you know, a million different cheeses to put in there, and but there's two different things that I kind of advocate for. One of the biggest things is how you coat the outside of the bread. In order to have that nice crispy crust, you have to have something on the outside to make the bread nice and crispy. I do it two different ways. The first way I always do it is with butter. Right. And then I'll, you know, spread a nice layer of butter on it. I'll get it starting to toast, and then I'll put another layer of butter on after it starts to get a little crispy to get any of those little sections that didn't quite absorb the butter.
Oh, hang on, wait a minute. So the same side that's already toasted a little bit.
Same side that's already toasted, I'll put another little layer of butter on there to catch any of those.
I liked you because you just added fat to more fat. I love that idea. So I'm sorry, I interrupted. Anyway.
So that way, because sometimes, you know, you'll spread the butter on the dry bread.
You don't really connect with it. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't cover.
So then, you know, once it starts to toast, you'll have some spots that don't quite have that toastiness that you're looking for. So if you just touch those spots with a little extra butter, and softened butter obviously works the best. If you can do that, you know, get a nice little crisp. And I mean, you can butter it, flip it, and then butter the other side. So you end up toasting it four times, twice on each side, right?
And you're kind of looking for golden brown, right?
Golden brown, GB&D.
Black or too dark, because then it's going to taste a little burned. So golden brown, right?
Yep, golden brown and delicious, GB&D. But the other way to achieve that, which I don't do as often, but I should, is with mayonnaise.
I've heard that a lot. I haven't tried that one yet.
So I've done it a few times, and it actually comes out very nice. So instead of, because mayonnaise is going to have a higher smoking point, so you're going to be able to get that pan a little hotter, get a little crisper without it getting black.
Right. And isn't there like naturally occurring sugar in that as well? So it caramelizes a little bit, right? as a result. Not that exactly. It's not sugary sweet. It's just like a natural component to mayonnaise.
Yeah. Right. So it's going to get that nice. I mean, what you're looking for, the outside crust needs to have an outside crust. It has to be.
You want that just a little resistance. Yeah.
Right. You don't want it to be greasy. So there's that line. So, I mean, I just mentioned buttering each side of the bread two times. But the second one is just sort of like when you do a touch up when you're painting.
You're filling in. Yeah.
Right. Fill in those little spots that just didn't quite take the first time.
Right.
So that's, to me, one of the most important steps is the outside, right? So it's either that double butter or mayonnaise, and you're going to get that nice crisp golden brown outer layer. But then you have the bread.
So, yeah, because there's a lot of components. Well, there's a lot to consider. There's a lot of components.
There's three components. There's the crunch, there's the bread, and there's the cheese.
There's the crunch, the bread. And the
But all of those components are equally important in my mind.
No doubt. They can't stand alone. They all need each other. Yeah.
Right. So as far as the bread goes, I mean, you don't want something that's like super porous, like a great Italian bread that you would eat, you know, a sliced Italian bread. Oh, yeah,
like a rustic, rustic country bread's not going to work. Everything's just going to pour through.
No, yeah. You're better off with just a sliced bread, whatever, you know, whether it's something dense, something with a little density to it.
If you could pick any, like, this is my go-to bread, like this is the kind, for me, this is the best grilled cheese in my opinion, your opinion, but you know what I mean. I'm always going to get this.
You know, so I tend to buy just like, for my daughters, I tend to buy just sliced wheat bread, which doesn't necessarily make your mind go crazy, but just something that has some density to it. If you did a ciabatta bread, it's going to be too porous.
It's got large air pockets in it. And also that's a chewier bread. So it kind of takes away from it. I feel like,
Exactly.
For me, I'm thinking like a good dense white bread.
Yeah,
I do like wheat bread, but I feel like a white bread's more just like classic childhood, maybe.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Wonder Bread probably makes the best sandwiches, but it's not such a bad call for you. Yeah, we're not talking about nutrition here. I mean,
we're eating a grilled cheese. Let's be honest.
Right. We had Katrina on earlier to talk about nutrition. Now we can talk about the fat stuff.
Creating balance.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, a nice sliced white bread, a nice sliced wheat bread, something that is fairly dense. That's not going to, you know, have these big craters or these big air pockets or anything, which is what you're looking for in a great bread. But we're not looking for a great bread. We're looking for something that is a vehicle for the cheese. Which gets us to the cheese.
Yeah, what's your pick?
Probably going to get shunned for this, but American cheese in a grilled cheese sandwich is the best cheese.
It melts like a dream. Sandwich. Yeah.
I mean, there's... Again, I mentioned in the beginning, there's a million different things you can do. You can, you know, you can put Munster and Swiss and, you know, build all this stuff up. Velveeta or just sliced American cheese, which is uber processed. But then when it gets that nice grill, you get that char on the outside, you get that like kind of fake bread, and then you get this processed cheese and just those textures and those flavors. I mean, that's living.
I'm with you. I think you gotta what are you aiming for? Then you can make all this happen. You just need to know the technique. But that would have been my call too, because that's classic. I will say Monterey Jack is a pretty damn good substitute for American cheese, but it's a little more adult.
Right.
The surface you're cooking on, griddle's ideal, but not everybody has a griddle at home, right? So you're thinking like cast iron skillet. Frying pan, regular frying pan.
I'll either go. So I cook most things on a cast iron skillet because it's cast iron, it holds a lot more heat. So you can get a nice even, because that's the thing. You want that golden brown. You don't want it black. You don't want it too dark. You want it to be nice and golden brown. So if you have a nice surface that holds good heat, cast iron is the way to go.
Right.
However, I'll also make it in a nonstick pan.
Yeah, almost a little easier to get it more. To me, I feel like you're going to get a more consistent result.
Right.
Cast iron can be a little tricky unless you really know your pan.
I mean, nonstick pan. I mean, what are we talking about here at this point, right? Wonder Bread, government American cheese.
We're really getting scientific
about it. Yeah. and a nonstick pan.
This is ask a pro. You'd have been like, yeah, just get some bread and some cheese. I don't know. Make sure it's toasted. All right. I'll see you guys later. You can't, no, you got it. You got to get this detailed about it.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So, but that's, you know, to me, and unfortunately, for some reason, my kids don't like grilled cheese sandwiches. So I don't eat them that much.
Yes, they do. Come on.
No, nope.
Oh, I got to talk to Gracie.
Maybe they'll come around. He was, I mean, Gracie was on the show before we started recording with Katrina, and, you know, she wouldn't say a word. She was just giggling here the whole time, but she was not going to tell us about her love or hate for grilled cheese. I ask every day, like, what do you want for lunch? You want a grilled cheese? Nah. All right, what else do you want?
Chicken nuggets.
Yep, ends up being chicken nuggets.
Right. All right, well, thank you for all those tips. Now you know how to make a stellar grilled cheese. Substitute, rotate, all that, but the technique's important. So you're saying butter or mayonnaise, golden, not too dark. Maybe you have to do each side a little bit more. Pick a good melting cheese. You're saying American, and a good dense bread, nothing too porous. So wheat, a good white bread, and there you go. Yeah, pretty simple.
That's it. That's all you need. But make sure your heat's not too high. My father used to always give us a hard time. Anytime we were cooking, he'd walk by and say, oh, your heat's too high. So anytime I say your heat's not too high, but you want to be like a nice medium high, you know, somewhere in between there so that it's cooking. You don't want to just kind of sit in there. You want to make sure that it gets toasted while it's getting melted so that that temperature is.
Yeah, you don't want to burn it. And like you said, right. You don't want to sit there and just baste it in the fat. You're like, nothing's happening.
Right. Right.
I'm hungry and I want to eat.
Right. So if you have a question for Ask a Pro, so any questions you want, whether it's beverage related, food related, we'll be happy to tackle them. Send them in to us. You can go to anchor.fm/culinaryroad and leave us a message. You can also reach us directly on Instagram at culinary.rd. At FMIV is Fred, and at Chef Melnick, you can find me there. And then also, we should have culinaryroad.com up and running. So,
right.
culinaryroad.com will
big
be
happenings
able to,
going on.
Yeah, we got some things in the works. So, check out culinaryroad.com, and you know you can reach us through there as well. So you have plenty of avenues. Send us your questions.
No
we'd
excuses.
Love to hear. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. So. You know, ask a pro section, or you know, if you have a guest you want to come on the show, whatever it is, you know, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. But Fred, I think that wraps up season 2, episode 1. Unless you got anything else to add,
we started off with a hell of a bang. Looking forward to this season, and yeah, what a great guest, a lot of fun, and we're gonna do this again next week. I will see you.
Sure will. We sure will. All right, so tune in next week for another episode of the Culinary Road Podcast.